headlines, China reacts to the G7 leaders' plan to counter its infrastructure scheme, saying the days when small groups of nations decided the fate of others is gone. Hamas condemns the Emirati foreign minister's remark about the Palestinian resistance groups, saying they are in line with Israel's aspirations. And Russia reports nearly 15,000 new infections from coronavirus, the largest one-day national caseload since February 13. Thank you for joining us. My name is Gisumi Shahmadi, and these are top stories this hour. China has cautioned the leaders of the group of seven developed countries that the days when, quote, the small groups of nations decided the fate of the world are long gone. The Chinese embassy in London underlined that Beijing believes all countries are equal and that world affairs should be handled through consultation with all states. The reaction came after G7 leaders in their summit in Carpus Bay in southwest England addressed strategic competition with China. The leaders from Canada, France, Germany, Italy, Japan, and the UK, as well as the United States, unveiled a project to counter China's trillion-dollar infrastructure scheme called the Belt and Road Initiative. With the G7 summit underway in Cornwall, a rally has been held to condemn world leaders for their lack of action in protecting Palestinians from Israeli aggression. Protests took place up and down the UK, but in London, thousands mobilized outside Downing Street, that is, demanding change. Robert Carter was on the scene.
As the G7 descended on Cornwall for the summit, thousands of passionate pro-Palestine protesters amassed outside Downing Street in central London on Saturday to vent their anger over ongoing Israeli crimes against the Palestinians.
These protesters are absolutely furious at the lack of action from world leaders following Israel's recent and relentless attacks on Gaza and the Al-Aqsa Mosque compound. Although a ceasefire has been agreed since then, the fact that Palestinians are still forced to live under an apartheid regime has bitterly fueled the anger of these protesters who want to force a change.
Protesters had various demands, including international recognition of the Palestinian state and an end to Israeli arms sales.
If arms are used in violation of international law, they must be banned, embargoed immediately. Also, the issue of settlement products, they must be banned immediately. Those are illegal products. The recognition of the state of Palestine is long overdue. We do not understand why the UK government is not even listening to the voices of its own people, the voices of its own parliament that voted overwhelmingly to recognize the state of Palestine. The lack of recognition is not only immoral, it is undemocratic.
Place an embargo on Israel. Stop the arms deal. So this is the message that we're sending to. The people are with us. We're in our thousands. And we are going to continue until, honestly, the Palestinians are free and occupation is ended.
We are not going to forget the mark of shame upon the history of this country that brought us to where we are today, the Balfour Declaration. We demand a public apology from the British government as well as recognition of our state of Palestine. On top of that, we want sanctions now. We want justice. We want action.
The bombs may have temporarily stopped falling, but while Israel's systematic discrimination against the Palestinian people continues, so will the protests. Robert Carter, London.
The Palestinian resistance movement Hamas has reacted to remarks by Foreign Minister of the United Arab Emirates, Sheikh Abdullah bin Zayed Al Nahyan. Hamas spokesman in a tweet said the remarks made by the top Emirati diplomat are in line with Israeli regime's aspirations and false accounts. Qasem added that the comments also run counter to the approaches and viewpoints of Arab nations supporting the resistance front in occupied Palestine. In his recent remarks, Al-Nahyan expressed regret that some countries have not put movements such as Hamas on their list of terrorist groups. He also expressed hope that the normalization of ties between Abu Dhabi and Tel Aviv would pave the way for other Arab countries to follow suit. Political commentator Mohsen Saleh says the latest remarks by the UAE foreign minister show that the country is acting against Palestinians' rights to defend themselves against Israeli atrocities.
So I am not surprised, actually, of these declarations, of these statements, which indicate to the ignorance and to the unjust words of the about the Palestinian issue and the Palestinian resistance. Instead of helping, instead of trying to condemn the Israeli atrocities against the children and the women and the elderly in Palestine, they condemn the resistance. They are against the right of the Palestinians of defending themselves. And I guess this trend will be defeated. I guess this trend is breathlessly trying to keep its point, its pause in this region. And I guess they are counting their ends.
The Israeli parliament is set to vote on a new coalition cabinet that could end the 12-year-long rule of Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. The Knesset vote will either see a fragile 8-party alliance to power or return Israel to a stalemate and possibly a fifth general election since 2019. The new coalition consists of parties ranging from the right-wing Yamina party to Arab lawmakers. It has already selected centrist politician Yair Lapid and ultra-nationalist Naftali Bennett to serve as prime minister for 2 years each. After Netanyahu's failure to form a cabinet following an inconclusive March election, Lapid was tasked with forming a coalition. Netanyahu is already facing a host of corruption charges. Israelis have also held a number of protests in recent weeks against Netanyahu over his handling of COVID-19 and the economy. Our correspondent in Ramallah says Palestinians are skeptical about any change, as next a probable Israeli Prime Minister Bennett is likely to pursue right-wing agenda like his predecessor.
For the Palestinians, nothing might change but the changing the officials. Netanyahu will go, other Israeli officials will come. However, at the same time, they believe that this upcoming cabinet might be even more extreme, more radical, especially that Bennett is well known for his statements against the Palestinians, for the cabinet's rejection of forming a Palestinian or allowing for the establishment of a Palestinian state, and they will continue to support settlements. They believe that all settlements in the occupied territories and in the West Bank is part of Israel, and they are seen as Israeli cities, not illegal settlements being built on private Palestinian lands.
Russia has reported nearly 15,000 new infections from the coronavirus, the largest one-day national caseload since February 13. Russia's coronavirus task force also said 357 people died of COVID-19-related causes nationwide in the past 24 hours. This takes a total death toll to 126,430. Russian officials are trying to slow the spread of the new wave of the coronavirus. They have ordered workers in the capital, Moscow, to take next week off. They have also imposed restrictions on many businesses. In France, the marches have been held against the rise of a racist far-right and in defense of liberties. Protesters fear the impunity of Islamophobic and racist militias and ask the French government to take popular measures instead of copying far-right topics. Our correspondent in Paris has more details.
The against the racist and Islamophobic far right in defense of public and individual liberties. That's the main slogan of 140 marches that took place all over France, organized by more than 100 organizations and associations. The protesters say there is an urgency to stop the rise of far-right militias and parties in France that act more and more openly and in full impunity.
It's the first time that we see people producing videos with death threats and using real bullets in a killing setup. We didn't realize the nature of a danger that's rising in our country. The day after the video, the president of the republic's been slapped in the face. I think that now many people are aware of the gravity of the situation.
Earlier this year, thousands of militaries, amongst them dozens of generals, openly called for law and order against the danger of Islamization of the French society. Earlier this week, a known far-right activist posted a video where he steps with a knife and shoots with real bullets a puppet representing progressive activists and calling for the murder of journalists and the left leader Mélenchon. One day later, a far-right activist slapped President Macron in the face, shouting a royalist slogan. But instead of facing a danger of a fascist putsch, the French government was occupied in endless debates in Parliament and Senate about separatism targeting directly the Muslim community or in voting laws protecting the police.
The French government should be a barrier, but step by step it is becoming a bridge to the far right because the government is introducing in the public debate topics like migration and so-called separatism. There is clearly an authoritarian drift of the government, and all these issues pave the way for the far right.
The far right tries to introduce in France as a unique issue the Muslims and the insecurity. These are not the problems that we face. We face social and health problems. These are the real problems.
Protesters say that an authoritarian and racist drift in the French society is already taking place. This ideology is officially carried by the Marine Le Pen party. Instead of facing this danger, they say the French government is copying parts of the far-right program and is not making any concessions to the popular movement like the Yellow Vest protests. Presidential elections will take place in France in less than 1 year, and the odds of a racist and Islamophobic far-right leader taking the reins remain high. Christian Hunt, Paris.
The third and final presidential debate has ended with the seven Iranian candidates laying out their plans regarding people's concerns. However, other subjects, such as foreign policy, were also brought up in the three-hour debate. Yusuf Jaladi reports.
For the last time, the seven presidential candidates stood toe-to-toe at the headquarters of Iran's national television, the IRIB, to face off for the third and final debate. While the debate was themed with people's concerns, it was derailed every once in a while toward other issues, such as foreign policy, a topic toward which the two camps of the principalists and the reformists have conflicting stances. The debate saw the two pro-reformist candidates, Abdel Nasser Himati and Mohsen Mehralizadeh, stressing the need for Iran to join the Paris-based Financial Action Task Force, or the FATF, a global intergovernmental organization tasked with combating money laundering and terrorism financing. Iran and North Korea are the only two countries in the world that have not signed up for the FATF.
Mr. Jalili, only you and North Korea are saying that the FATF is useless. Are you saying the 200 countries around the world which signed the FATF do not understand that it's useful or not? The FATF is meant to contain money laundering and terrorism. Please think twice before making any comment.
Saeed Jalili, a heavyweight principalist, called Iran's entrance into the FATF an irreparable mistake that completes the puzzle of sanctions by the West and the U.S.
Entering into some international conventions is a mistake. You agree to enter into the FATF, but then they will decide the next step for you.
But he did not elaborate on his stance during the debate. Along with other journalists, I waited outside the debate studio to investigate his take on the FATF and how he would treat the international convention should he become the next Iranian president.
The Iranian government has already signed an action plan with the FATF. Rouhani has agreed that Iran implement 39 out of the 41 articles of the FATF. Iran did comply with those 39 articles, yet that organization has approved only 16 of them.
Furthermore, the FATF has made an announcement that if Iran fulfills the entire 41 articles, still it would define the next step for the country. Iranians need to know about these facts.
As part of Iran's action plan with the FATF, initially agreed upon more than 6 years ago, the country had to finalize four pieces of legislation. Two were passed by a reformist-dominated parliament, but the incumbent principalist-heavy parliament has halted the approval of the two remaining bills and referred them to the arbitration body, the Expediency Council, whose secretary is another presidential runner, Mohsen Rezai. Rezai says any decision regarding the FATF now is tied to whether the U.S. would lift its anti-Iran sanctions as part of the ongoing Vienna talks between Iran and the parties to the nuclear deal over the revival of the 2015 accord. This is how the upcoming presidential election could shape Iran's foreign policy. Iranians will go to polls on June 18th to choose their next president.
While many Iranians are still undecided on a single candidate, the debates have helped them to narrow down their choices. But the question of who will be the next Iranian president will be answered on June 18th. Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Saudi Arabia has once again barred Muslims from other countries from taking part in this year's Hajj pilgrimage due to the coronavirus pandemic. The Saudi Hajj Ministry says only 60,000 people residing in the kingdom, including foreign nationals, will be allowed to perform the annual ritual. The ministry added those taking part should be vaccinated against COVID-19. Hajj normally brings together nearly 2 million Muslims from across the globe in Saudi Arabia. But last year, only 1,000 pilgrims were allowed to take part amid tight coronavirus restrictions. Last October, authorities relaxed some of the curbs, opening the Grand Mosque in Mecca for prayers after 7 months and partially resuming the year-round Umrah pilgrimage through a limited scale. That brings us to the end of this edition of World News.
A diverse range of programs. Youth, spirituality, culture, Eastern tales, roundtable discussions, politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
Our website is www.parstoday.com/en.
Could you tell a little about yourself?
Amir Ikshmanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who is an Indian.
Listeners special.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful, Salam, dear listeners, warmest greetings to you and welcome to this week's edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, June 13th, 2021. I'm Atef Erfani hosting this program today. As you know, Listeners Special is a Sunday program where your views are presented through emails and letters or messages. So contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcast. Tell us your views about our programs. Or if you have any messages for our dear listeners around the world, then record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard. Remember, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. Keep us company until the end of the program. again. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, the Sunday program, your program. And as usual, many of you have taken the trouble of sending us reception reports. Yes, these reception reports are very useful and important to us in IRIB English Radio, especially to our technicians and engineers. These reception reports enable us to provide a better service to our dear listeners around the world. All of you who have sent in a reception report will be receiving an EQSL card from us. Yes, these days we send you EQSL cards. And here, I do appreciate those of our dear listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports, including Mizanur Rahman from Bangladesh. Hello, Mizanur Rahman from Bangladesh, and thank you very much for sending us reception reports. Yes, Mizanur Rahman is one of our regular listeners. And another regular listener from Latvia, Andrew Kuznetsov, has sent us a reception report. And also Fakri from Indonesia has sent us a reception report. And here I truly appreciate those of our listeners who have kindly sent us emails and letters from around the world, which I mention some of their names here, and later during the program I will read their emails or letters, including Shailesh Vaid from India has sent us an email, Sergey M. Izumov from Russia, one of our regular listeners, has sent us an email, Murti from India has sent us an email, and from England we have an email from Patrick Traverse. Patrick is also one of our regular listeners. Muhammad Sharifal Islam from Bangladesh, one of our regular listeners, has sent us an email, and so many other emails which, because of the time, I can't read their names, but in upcoming programs of Listeners Special I will read their emails or letters. For the time being, stay with us, please. After a short break, I will be back with all these kind emails and letters. Stay tuned. Welcome back. Here we have an email from India. This email is from one of our listeners, Murti. Murti from India says, as a regular World Service listener for many years, I am happy to tell you that during those years, I have learned so much about your beautiful country. There have been many changes in different areas in your country, such as economic, social, and tourism fields, which people of your country will benefit from. I have reasons to stay a regular listener of your English broadcast, but the most important reason is quality of good English programs. I should say that your radio is my favorite worldwide broadcasting service, so I would like to put my World Radio Club address on your mailing list for your programs. Thank you, and we are waiting to hear about you very soon. Please convey my best wishes to staff of IRIB English Service. First of all, salam and warmest greetings to you, Murti from India, and deepest thanks to you for sending us this really encouraging and inspiring message to staff of IRIB English Radio. Your views on IRIB English Radio programs were very inspiring, and it seems that you've already joined IRIB English Radio, and this message really shows your commitment, your love, and your kindness toward IRIB English Radio. It's really amazing that you learned so much about Iran through our radio. It's great. So in your upcoming emails or letters, please tell us what exactly you've learned from IRIB English Radio. As you said, you've learned a lot about Iran through our radio. It's great. It's an honor. And it's also really wonderful to know that you have found reasons to stay committed to our radio, including, as you said, the quality of the programs. Thank you. Thank you so much for your compliments, Moti from India. We are so honored to have you with us as a loyal and regular listener of IRIB English Radio. We wish you all the best, yes. We in Iran and in IRIB English Radio, we wish you all the best. Please keep in touch with us. We will send you very soon an EQSL card. Let this relationship continue. Morty from India, write to us soon and tell us your views about IRIB English Radio broadcast. And here we have a message from Russia. This message, this email actually, is from Sergei M. Izumov. Sergei is one of our regular listeners who says, it would be great if you send me out your frequency list. Also, please send me your beautiful postcards representing different corners of Iran and other promotional items if possible. Salam, Sergei M. Izumov from Russia, and thanks a lot for sending us this message. You're a regular listener of IRIB English Radio, and you must know that, you know, we have the frequency schedule. We have this schedule on our website. Yes, you can find the frequency list on our website at www.parsoday.com/en. Yes, again, www.parsoday.com/en. Yes, you can find the frequency list, the frequency schedule of our broadcast there. And my colleagues will send you very soon an EQSL card, as well as the promotional items of IRIB English Radio, if available and if possible. Sergei M. Izumov from Russia, write to us soon and tell us your views about IRIB English Radio programs. Thank you very much. Well, dear listeners, after a short break, I will be back with other emails and letters from around the world. Please stay with us. Well, you just heard a piece of Iranian traditional music, and I really enjoyed it. From India, we have an email from Shailesh Wait from India. Shailesh, he or she says, I happened to hear your program on global warming a few days ago. The reception was quite clear. I really enjoyed listening to this informative program. I especially found very interesting how global warming is affecting our lives as human beings in a negative way. I thank you for producing such quality programs, and I would look forward to listen to many such programs on your radio station in the future. First of all, salam, Shailesh Wait from India, and warmest greetings to you. Many thanks for sending us this email. So, you had the chance to catch a program on global warming. I guess it was a program in the limelight. Yes, we have a program called In the Limelight, and I think you catch the program about global warming in this program, In the Limelight. We have had such programs on this subject in this program, In the Limelight, and we're so glad that you found this program very informative. Thank you very much, and we're so glad that you found our broadcast very informative and interesting. Anyway, wish you all the best. Shailesh Ved from India, write to us soon, keep in touch with us, and tell us your views about other programs of IRIB English Radio, because this helps us to make better and the high quality of the programs in IRIB English Radio. Thank you very much, Alish Ved from India. We are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. And here we have an email from Bangladesh. This email is from Muhammad Shariful Islam. Muhammad Shariful Islam is one of our regular listeners who says, thank you for being in touch with us. This is to inform you that I am always listening to IRIB English Radio every now and then, and I have some reception reports of past month with some comments which I shall send in the coming days when I manage to find some time. Thank you in advance. Wishing you health and well-being during this pandemic. Salam and warmest greetings to you, Muhammad Shariful Islam from Bangladesh, and warmest and deepest thanks to you for sending us this email. Muhammad Shariful Islam is one of our regular listeners. Thank you very much for sending us this email. And it's great. So you prefer listening to IRIB English Radio. As you said, you every now and then listen to this program. You said you always listen to this program and every now and then have the reception reports of the past month. Thank you very much. We also wish you the best, especially wish you the best quality of the health and life and well-being during this pandemic, and we wish this pandemic be eradicated throughout the world very soon. Thank you very much, Muhammad Shariful Islam from Bangladesh. Write to us soon. Well, dear listeners, after a short break, we will be back with other emails and letters from around the world. Welcome back from England, from Patrick Travers from England, one of our regular listeners. We have an email. This email says, dear friends, I found listening to your English broadcast this evening very interesting and enjoyable. I would be very interested in learning more about your broadcast, and I would welcome any information. Please, will you send a program schedule and pennant or any other publicity manual? First of all, hello, salam, Patrick Travers from England, and thank you very much for sending us this email. So you found listening to our English broadcast this evening, in your time, of course, in time of writing this email, very interesting and enjoyable. Okay, why don't you tell us the name of that program? Yes, tell us your views about our broadcast. Your views, you dear listeners, your views help us make better and better programs in the future. Yes, tell us your views about our broadcast. You said that you are interested in learning more about our broadcast and welcome any information. Yes, you can find any information about IRIB English Radio and the archive of our program in our website at www.parsley.com/en. You can find the program schedule, the time of our programs, and also the archive of our program. Also, the online broadcast of our radio, IRIB English Radio, is available also in our website. If your shortwave radio is not available at the time you want to listen to our radio, my colleagues will soon send you an EQSL card and the promotional items and the pennant you've requested will be sent to you as soon as possible, if possible and available. Anyway, Patrick Travers from England, thank you very much for sending us this email. Write to us soon and tell us your views about our broadcast. The listeners, here we reach to the section of this week's interview, which is conducted with one of our regular listeners. Please take a listen.
My name is Chris Dame here. I'm retired. I'm coming up to 75 years old, and I live in Hertfordshire. That's about 30 miles north. Sydney's in Hertfordshire, 30 miles north of London. And I've been a shortwave listener now for about 60-odd years. Overall, I find the programs of RRB very interesting, obviously complete opposite to what we're learning in the media in Great Britain. This is obviously, again, it's a political situation in your country, but obviously it gives the enlightenment of your view of your side, and particularly your part of the world as to what's going on. Particularly some news in the Middle East is not covered here in our local media. In fact, in the last week, the local media has been just obsessed with Brexit and Mr. Boris Johnson, and anything else that's happened on the international scene has really pretty well been ignored. A message to our listeners is obviously keep listening to IRIB, because obviously you're providing a very good service in giving an opposite view of what a lot of media are saying in another part of the world. And I think this is important. Otherwise, not everyone gets one point of view, and there's nothing outstanding on the other side. And possibly the other side is right. And this has quite often happened before.
Wishing you all the best in your health and in your life, we wrap up this week's edition of Listeners Special, the Sunday program. Please keep in touch with IRIB English Radio, and goodbye.
Listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We'll be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send your emails to EnglishRadio@irib.ir. That is one word, EnglishRadio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at www.pasttoday.com/en. Our phone number is 00982122013720. Once again, our phone number is 00982122013720. Our profile is also in Facebook. Our address is www.facebook.com/pasttodayenglish. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
A diverse range of programs. Spirituality. Youth. Eastern Tales. Roundtable Discussions. Culture. Politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
The Biden administration is summarily returning almost all unaccompanied Mexican children just hours after they seek safe haven, often without considering the risks they could face upon return, says Jake Johnson Ryder in an article published under the heading, Dangerous and Unconscionable. Amnesty finds Biden is illegally expelling thousands of unaccompanied children. Stay tuned for more. A detailed new report by Amnesty International finds that the Biden administration is abusing an anti-trafficking law to forcibly expel thousands of unaccompanied Mexican children seeking asylum at the United States southern border, often sending them back to dangerous conditions without adequately screening for threats to their safety. Titled Pushed into Harm's Way, the 50-page report released recently documents the Biden administration's effective continuation of its predecessor's policy of rejecting nearly all asylum seekers at official ports of entry along the U.S.-Mexico border. Though Biden immigration authorities have largely stopped applying to unaccompanied children, a Trump-era Title 42 policy that used the pandemic as a pretext to expel migrants, the new administration is misusing a provision of anti-trafficking legislation concerning Mexican unaccompanied children to deprive them of effective screenings for harm and to deny them access to asylum procedures, Amnesty alleges. The Trafficking Victim Protection Reauthorization Act, that is TVPRA, requires U.S. officials to screen unaccompanied children to confirm they're not victims of human trafficking and ensure that returning them to their home country would not threaten their safety. As The Intercept's Ryan Dovreux reported recently, since 2006, when the so-called war on drugs became a military campaign in Mexico, more than 400,000 people have been killed. Large regions of the country are frequently home to rampant violence and impunity, Dovreux continued. Many border cities in the north of the country, the localities where the U.S. removes people to on a regular basis, are among the most dangerous, particularly for migrants and asylum seekers who are often targets of extortion and kidnapping. But despite the requirements under TVPRA, Customs and Border Protection, CBP officials, are often not performing child protection screenings faithfully, appropriately, or with reasonable informed consent of the children, who often do not understand what is happening during the process, Amnesty's report notes. The Biden administration is summarily returning almost all unaccompanied Mexican children just hours after they seek safe haven, often without considering the risks they could face upon return. The new report comes days after Vice President Kamala Harris, during a visit to Guatemala, explicitly warned would-be immigrants not to travel to the U.S.-Mexico border in search of refuge, telling them they will be turned back. "Do not come," said Harris. Vedant Patel, assistant White House press secretary, and a Biden immigration advisor sent a similar message when speaking to reporters last month. The policy right now for Mexican unaccompanied minors is for them to be repatriated, said Patel, using a euphemism for forced expulsion. Amnesty says in its report that since January 2021, the Biden administration has continued to exempt only unaccompanied migrant children from the Trump-era Title 42 policy, pushing families to make an impossible choice. The report continues, likely thousands of children have had to separate from their asylum-seeking parents in order to escape dangerous border regions of northern Mexico and have then crossed the border alone, since they would otherwise be deported as a family if their parents crossed with them. In addition to compelling families to separate unnecessarily, U.S. border authorities still reportedly turn unaccompanied children away at some of the most heavily trafficked official ports of entry and deny them access to asylum procedures. Despite their legal right to request protection at ports of entry, the vast majority of unaccompanied children instead take dangerous journeys across the open border, often at the mercy of smugglers. Now, while unaccompanied children are no longer subjected to mass expulsions under Title 42, U.S. border authorities are still immediately returning the vast majority of unaccompanied Mexican children who enter the USA. In an interview with Amnesty researchers, the director of the Border Rights Program at the legal services organization Al Otro Lado recounted the story of an unaccompanied boy from Mexico whom CBP officials were attempting to expel this past March. He was held in CBP custody 6 to 8 days and was not given the opportunity to call his family or me, his lawyer, despite the fact that I entered a G28 legal representation form and requested that he be permitted to contact his uncle in California, the advocate said, adding his family sent him alone and his parents were in hiding in Mexico. They feared the whole family would be sent back, which is why they sent him alone. According to Amnesty, the boy was ultimately held in CBP custody for 7 days, more than double the legally permitted time, before being transferred to the Office of Refugee Resettlement, from whose custody he was released to a close family member in the United States. As of May 2021, his family remained in hiding in Mexico, unable to request asylum protection with their son due to the Biden administration's retention of Title 42 policy. The Biden administration's policy of turning away most unaccompanied children amounts to a systematic violation of the right to seek asylum, Amnesty says, casting further doubt on President Joe Biden's promise to create a more humane immigration system in contrast to the overt cruelty of the Trump era. The humanitarian group's report also shows that Mexican authorities are deporting the vast majority of unaccompanied children that arrive from Central American nations seeking safety from violence and persecution. their dangerous and unconscionable policies, said Amnesty's Guevara Rosas, adding, the United States and Mexico must stop denying unaccompanied children their universal human rights to seek asylum and to family unity, no matter where they're from. Specifically, Amnesty is calling on Biden to immediately withdraw the Trump administration's Title 42 rule, ordered CBP to stop rejecting asylum-seeking children at ports of entry along the U.S.-Mexico border and swiftly facilitate all asylum claims by unaccompanied children, irrespective of their nationality, and their expeditious release to family members or other sponsors in the U.S. You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran's broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. Shortwave, 41 meters, 7,410 kilohertz for Indian subcontinent, and FM. 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or BAT 5 and via internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Send your correspondence to the English program P.O. Box 19395-6767 Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Every night and every day, every night and every day, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah.
IRIB English Radio. A herald of unity and solidarity amongst Islamic denominations.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. In continuing our discussion on the profound saying, or this lengthy saying rather, of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, in which he discusses the units or battalions of Aql and Jahl, or the tradition that is known as Junud al-Aql wa Jahl. And we have reached this segment of the tradition where the Imam alayhi salam again mentioning two of the particular units, one for Aql, one for Jahl. He says that that unit which is for Aql is known as Ash-Shahama, and that unit which is for Jahl is Al-Balada. Now, Shahama is that characteristic and that particular trait which an individual has, and he is basically is trying to say that this person is a very vibrant person, is a person who, you know, gets along with others, others get along with him, you know, he is a happy, not happy-go-lucky, that is a very, you know, detrimental term. You know, a person is haphazard. No, that's not what this means. But again, as we mentioned, all of these particular characteristics are interrelated somehow. But in a particular context, you can see two or three coming, or in a particular, you know, scenario, we can see this one coming and that one going away, and so on and so forth. So here what we mean by Shahama is that a person is vibrant. You know, he's a person who, you know, is not always down, is not, you know, doesn't have melancholy, if you want to call it that. He's not dull, as the other word says. He's not someone, you know, who just kind of, you know, as they say in English, he brings life to the party. He doesn't, you know, destroy the party. No, he's that type of person, you know, is good to be around with. You know, he gives you energy as well. He energizes you. You know, this type of, obviously in a positive way and in a good way. You know, he jokes, you know, he's, you know, lively and so on and so forth, but all in within the confinements of the shar and within the confinements of the divine law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is on the one side, and on the other side, a person is dull, a person who doesn't, you know, just brings other people down. He just, you know, doesn't, you know, like, you know, loneliness is one thing, as we say, you know, being alone, being in solitude is one thing, but this person, you know, it is better for people rather to stay away from him. Because if he's in within a gathering, he will just kind of, you know, not bring anything to it. He will basically kind of decrease the happiness and the vibrancy of that particular gathering, and so on and so forth. He might just be a very negative person as well. So we can explain this on one side, a very positive person, as a very negative person, and so on and so forth. Again, there are many other possible explanations that can be given with regards to these two characteristics. Inshallah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to instill within ourselves all those that is positive, all that which is good according to this tradition, and to remove from us and to keep away from us all that which is bad and has been mentioned as the units of Jahl in this tradition. Inshallah, until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
The debate.